Let me warn you, if you see me when I am out on my bicycle, I look a little different. I wear the functional clothing that cyclists wear. I have the funky-looking helmet, and I have these big old bug-eyed sunglasses that I got online because they were inexpensive and they're a little bit too big for my face, but they work. And I realize now, with the gloves and all the accoutrements there, I realize now that I look like some kind of alien from Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Brian, I'm sorry, you do too when you are dressed that way. The fact that I looked different doesn't usually occur to me because I am not expecting to see or talk to anyone generally, so I'm not too concerned with how I look. But it hit me the other day when I ran into a friend, figuratively, not literally. I was riding out in Hiram, and I went past West Point Dairy. And I have a friend who works there with a distinctive truck, and so I notice, I always kind of take note if he's there, if his truck is there out front. And as I noticed his truck, I noticed that he was actually in the truck there riding on something. So I decided something, and he said, "Paul, you should go over and say hi." So I turned around my bike, and I rode over calling his name. "Hey, JD, how's it going?" And he looked over and saw me in my weird clothes and the bug-eyed sunglasses. He said, "Who the heck are you?" Almost as if he expected me to reach out and say, "Ouch, alien." And it took JD a minute to look past the bug-eyed sunglasses to recognize me as one who belongs within the realm of humans. This is somebody he knew. It's very understandable when you see a person in one context, like JD sees me mostly around here, without bug-eyed sunglasses, and then you meet them in another context, dressed differently or whatever, It's much harder to recognize them. It happens to me all the time. And for me, it doesn't have anything to do with funny-looking glasses. My mind just isn't very good at it. Apparently, I share this shortcoming with the hometown folks from Nazareth who are in our story this morning. Jesus went home, Mark tells us, with his disciples in tow. And he went to the place where he grew up, to the streets where he had run and played as a boy, to the home where he had lived with his family, to the synagogue where he had learned the Torah and prayed. He returned to the place where he had learned a trade and where he had grown into a man. But upon his return, Jesus was a carpenter no longer. Jesus, in the story of Mark's gospel to this point, has been doing amazing things, healing and casting out demons and stilling storms even. And you'd think that with Jesus' growing fame, that the Nazareth Gazette would lead with the headline, "Hometown Boy Does Good." You would think that when Jesus entered the synagogue on Sabbath, someone would pinch his cheek and say, "Oh, I knew you when you were only this tall. Now look at you." But this is not the case when Jesus returned to his hometown. Jesus came home, but as the story makes clear, he felt anything but at home. They saw him, but they didn't recognize him. It seems like they didn't even want to recognize him. What they wanted was Jesus, the Jesus who would make them a new set of cabinets. They wanted him to fix the table in their dining room, to build a new stall for the donkey. What Jesus wanted to give them was something else. He wanted to set them free. He wanted to set them free from their expectations, from their burdens, from their sickness, from their despair, from their hunger. But they couldn't see it. Sure, he's a whiz with the hammer. and that stool he made for me is still in my living room. But what in the world is he trying to do now? Who does he think he is? And he was astounded by their unbelief, says Mark. And the deeds of power among the hometown crowd were few. The translation I read said he was appalled by their disbelief. I'm not sure where they get that linguistically, but I think it accurately communicates the intensity of Jesus' surprise. Folks, here I am, Jesus, Abram, Aaron, Ruth, it's me. I'm finally doing what I was called to do. Don't you recognize me? This isn't in the biblical record, but I'm going to go out on a limb here. I suspect that Jesus wasn't a very good carpenter. Not because carpentry isn't a worthy trade, but because I believe Jesus' heart and mind, I suspect, was always directed elsewhere. Even as he learned to work the wood from Joseph, his father, as a young boy, I see Jesus' eye turned, pulled toward the synagogue and the rabbi as he read from the Torah. I see his attention caught by the widow who was ostracized from the town when her husband died and her family connections were severed. I see him catch his breath when he runs into the child who is abused by the family three doors down. I see him reach out when passing by the lepers and the beggars at the village gate. And I see him choosing to lift these people up and to put others in their place. I see him catch a vision at his baptism and set out to bring change, proclaiming God's kingdom. Joseph was there with Jesus. Jesus, would you please keep your mind on what you're doing? And Jesus is dreaming of changing lives, bringing transformation. I see him choose the path of faithful obedience to God instead of the path of human expectations and limitations. And the hometown's folk stumbled, not able to accept his radical choice. They saw Jesus, but they couldn't recognize the Messiah bursting out of the carpenter. Now, it's easy as readers to be a little judgmental here. How can they miss it? Jesus was right in front of them. They must have heard everything that was going on. All those dense hometown folks. But as I thought about the story, I began to get worried that maybe this is the point of the story, that hometown folks, the ones who are supposed to know him best, who have been with him for years, these are the very ones who have the hardest time recognizing him. If this is indeed at the heart of the story, doesn't this make us the hometown folks? We who call ourselves followers of Jesus, we who are keepers of his story, we in many cases who have been with him for years, do we recognize the Messiah bursting out of the carpenter? If you are of the more progressive persuasion, would you recognize the Jesus who lives and wants a personal relationship with you, who wants to change your heart and your life so that you can be the person you were created to be, free from baggage, free from the brokenness of sin, free to dream of new possibilities, rational and irrational? Would you recognize this Jesus? Would you recognize this Jesus who is interested in your social life and in your sexual life? Not in giving you rules or denying who you are, but in encouraging you to justice and intimacy and fidelity in your relationships. and helping you to discover the deep joy that can come in these things. Would you recognize the Jesus who wants to be with you in every part of your life? If you are of the more traditional persuasion, would you recognize the Jesus who doesn't only want to change the hearts and minds of individuals, but who wants to overturn the tables of systems that promote injustice and violence and oppression? Would you recognize the Jesus who, like all the prophets, believes the foreigner and the widow and all those on the margin of society deserve more community attention and more community resources rather than less? Would you recognize the Jesus occupying a park for justice? Would you recognize the Jesus who says, "You give them something to eat"? Now, the point I am making is not that any Jesus or every Jesus is the right Jesus. The point I'm trying to make is that Jesus shows up and he never fits the good-looking and comfortable portraits we paint for ourselves. But that's what makes faith not only exciting and interesting, but alive and able to reach us in our issues and circumstances today. The General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA, our denominational, our every other year gathering, has met this past week, and we'll have a chance perhaps in the weeks to come to examine their particular decisions that they made over the past week. But I want to reflect on the way they got together this past week, people from all different kinds of theological perspectives, and they got together to wrestle, to discern, to disagree with each other, and to pray, and to vote. And they got together, why? Because they wanted to recognize the living Jesus who comes to be with us today. And part of when I hear that verse about leaving behind all the bags and all the money when you go out to proclaim, I think that maybe is external, but I think it's also Jesus wants his disciples to leave back all the internal baggage they have. Jesus can do that, but he can't do that. Jesus wants to change this, but not change this. Jesus wants to change that other person over there that I don't agree with, but Jesus is just like me. Doesn't want to change me. So unless we want to be like the hometown folks who appalled him, perhaps we shouldn't look for the Jesus we want. Perhaps we should wait for and be open to the Jesus we need. The Jesus who shows up in our hometowns and who just wants to be with us in the ways that we need it. As I examine the institution of the church today, the larger church I'm talking about, I fear that too often we wait for a Jesus who can make us a new set of cabinets for the youth room, or will perhaps provide the funds to refurbish our dusty sanctuaries, or who will teach us rules to live by or to keep others in line. But instead, the story shows us a Jesus who wants to transform lives and, by the way, wants to send us out to do the same. Do we recognize this living Jesus? Do we have a faith that waits to be surprised? Or does Jesus seem more like an alien to us? Do we have a faith where we follow a Jesus who looks like us? Or do we pursue a faith where we have a Jesus who sends us out looking more like him? What does your Jesus look like? Perhaps the story is an invitation. In here and out there, in your workplace, in your school, in your home, in your bedroom, out in nature, wherever you may be, maybe this story is an invitation to meet Jesus again and again and again for the first time.